So we're going to go through really the weekend that was, but touch on quite a few games. I mean, we'll start with you, Dax, and the Columbus versus the Atlanta game. We'll touch on Nashville Red Bull. We got Neville and Armas in Portland, Colorado. Let's talk about LAFC and Seattle, because that was a big one. And then I also saw St. Louis and RSL, and we really can't miss an opportunity to talk about the Galacticos in Los Angeles and the star-studded affair that was with Miami and Messi and Beckham back in the building wearing a different club's colors. That was pretty wild. We got to talk about the referees, and I think we also need to talk about the roster additions that Gordo makes with his pronunciations and spellings of just absolutely butchering everybody's players' names and what the back of their jersey looks like. But we got a fun one today.
What's the toughest part about being a journeyman in a new city?
Well, Gordo, you know this as well as I do. Being a journeyman in a new city or a city that you're staying in is always difficult. The uncertainty of the future. Are you going to stay? Are you going to go somewhere else? Back in 2020 with Nashville SC, when we had a brand new team, everyone coming to a new city, there was only one person that we trusted to get our real estate needs done. And that's Erin Mishu with Fikes Realty Group. She made everything perfect, flawless, seamless. We had absolutely no issues getting into our house here in Nashville, and all my teammates felt the same way. You can check Erin out at majorleague-realestate.com.
Major league journeyman, just like the LA Galaxy, the journeymen are back. The Trinity, the Father, Son, and the Holy Gargs with you all talking. MLS is back week. Dax, fresh off your first official game. Now, didn't have any minutes, but first official game, putting on the Atlanta United uniform, freezing your tail off in Columbus. It looked pretty brutal, pretty frigid. What was worse, having to watch them accept their championship rings and take in that ceremony, or sit in the pine for week one? Which one stung a little bit more?
Well, both, but watching the champs get their rings week one is never fun.
No, that hurts.
It's especially not fun if you can't spoil the party.
Exactly.
So It was a double whammy. I will say, shout out to the Columbus Crew seat warmers that they had on the bench. Those were nice. While my tush was warm, my feet were freezing. The weather was insane. We landed, it was like in the 50s. And then we woke up the next morning on game day to a blizzard. It was like crazy. So it was pretty wild. But look, they turned the field around pretty quickly. It wasn't too bad. The snow was clear. There was one section of the field, though, on one of the sides where the sun was not hitting it. And it was like significantly more icy than the other side of the field. So that was just little context into the game.
The grass was actually frozen.
Yeah, the grass was a little frozen. There were little icicles all over the place. I mean, they cleared out the snow, the main part of the snow, and it was a good field, easily playable.
Does lower.com, do they not have like the heaters underneath the grass built
in? I don't think they do.
They must not.
I could be wrong, but I don't think
that's a new stadium, right? You would think that they would put those in.
Brand new.
Columbus.
Brand new. I mean, they might. I don't know. I had heard they didn't. So I'm going with that. But yeah, man, it was a tough game. Obviously, I didn't get a chance to make my debut, but you know, I'm itching to do that eventually. And hopefully, you know, we have a bye week this next week, which is brutal. But I'm
week two bye week. Love that.
Yeah. Hoping to make the debut at home in front of the 17s, and the supporters for Atlanta United are obviously amazing. But it was a tough game for us. It was a tale of two halves. I mean, we struggled in the first half. They were just riding that wave, right? They got their rings, and then they jumped.
Dude, how much energy do you get from putting on your championship ring? People say like, hey, don't let it be a letdown before you go into the game. But I can't see that happening.
I just think they were super confident. It's like they didn't miss a beat from MLS Cup. Right. And they were sharp from the beginning. They were crisp. Their movement was excellent. I mean, they're really well coached, and they have a very good team. and they're very secure in what they do. And to be fair to us, we weathered the storm. We conceded a goal early. Brad Guzan, Old Man River, and I can call him that because he's the only guy older than me in MLS, I think, made a huge penalty save for us in the second half. And after that penalty save, we played really well. And we had a great second half. And we should have equalized, in my opinion. We should have equalized, and we should have gone on to at least take a point out of that game. So look, that's what we said in the locker room. Let's take the positives. I thought we played really well in the second half. And if you only lose 1-0 to the MLS Cup champs, and you know, we have some new pieces, they're basically bringing back their whole team. There's going to be some growing pains, some bumps in the road. And I certainly feel like we can build off that second half performance. So I'm not too worried about it.
You know, Dax, let me chime in here. You know, I watched the game a little bit, and I agree. You guys had some waves of opportunities. However, my big pick was Giakoumakis, right? I thought that he's going to be the guy. Did I hit that? Did I nail it?
You nailed that.
Nailed it. Giakoumakis.
Have you seen Super Troopers? It's just the Gallicanoukis.
And I got the mustache. That's why I grew up the mustache, is because I butcher everybody's name.
Okay, I absolutely love your mustache, by the way. I watched the last episode, and when you had that.
Gordo, the sheriff of Commerce City now. I love it. Keep it up.
I am going full. I was just tired. I did this during November. I was just tired of people being like, oh, Movember, right? And be like, yeah, say that to me now. No, this is real. This is real.
This is my look now.
I'm doing this.
All right, so continue with Giakoumakis.
And he was a focal point of mine because I didn't get to, honestly, I don't watch or I haven't watched a lot of soccer. And last year, everybody's kind of hyping this guy up. So I kind of jumped on board, right, without having my own eyes on it. I didn't see him being overly dangerous. I don't think that he was in good spots and overly dangerous in the game. Am I wrong on that? I mean, I watched probably 20 minutes of the game.
I think it's a difficult game to take much from in terms of our attacking patterns. What you have to understand, Gordo, is that Thiago Almada missed our entire preseason. He was with Argentina U23s for Olympic qualifying, and they literally when he qualified with like a week left in preseason for us, and we trained with him maybe 3 or 4 days. So I don't care what the chemistry.
There was
some rust, and that's what it looked like from my perspective. There was some rust between our attacking players. And Gigi, his name is pronounced Giakoumakis. Giakoumakis. There you go.
Just for future reference, just when you butcher it again.
Giakoumakis, GG, he had a little bit of a choppy preseason himself. He started off strong. He scored a couple goals in the first games of preseason. And then he picked up like a really small minor injury that made him miss like a week. Right. And so he wasn't, I don't think, fully up to speed in that first game against Columbus. I think he played 90 minutes, but that was his first 90. Right. And so I am not worried about him at all. This guy in training is an absolute killer. You will see he's going to score goals. There's zero doubt about that. I think, to be completely honest, our entire team, we just kind of struggled a little bit in the first half. And then when the game opened up a little bit in the second half, we were pinning them back. We were putting them under pressure. And he had a big chance. He had a really big chance to score. And the goalkeeper made a great save. So that's the thing about him, is like you're saying to me now, like you didn't see a lot of danger from him. But that's the thing about great strikers, is that you won't see a ton of danger the whole game. And then they pop up with a chance, like they'll find a chance. And more times than not, they're going to bury it. So on this occasion, the keeper made a big save. And that's the reason why Columbus got 3 points and we got none. But I'm not worried about that. Our attacking players are phenomenal. They are going to score plenty of goals. We saw that last year. The same is going to happen this year. And I'm pretty proud of the way we defended. It was a little bit emergency defending at times, but Columbus does that to you. We have to. I'm going to try to give more credit to them for how sharp they were in the beginning of the season than really like say that we have a lot to work
on. I mean, come on now. They're MLS Cup champs, reigning MLS Cup champs, arguably are very similar to the same lineup, same coach. Continuity's there. They got a ton of talent, a ton of attack, and you guys were decent on the night, especially in a ring ceremony day on the road in front of Columbus. Like, that's a tough place to be good from minute one as a starting point, right? I actually, you had mentioned Gregerson in the preseason as a guy that you liked. I keyed in on him in the first 45. I watched like 45, 60, maybe the beginning of the second half. Sure. I liked him a lot, Dax. Dude, he's a player.
Dude, all the signings that we made, they're very good players. Gregerson is going to be a stud for sure. He's rangy. Yeah. He's fast.
He was faster than I expected. He covered some ground.
He's got
that
some
I did not expect him to chew up some of that space. And he did for sure.
Our new signings are going to be great, man. Even the number six, Bartosz Sliszy, he's a Polish center midfielder, right? Like you could tell in that second half when guys got their feet underneath them. Mm-hmm. We're going to, especially with what we were able to do in the second half, possessing the ball and putting Columbus under a lot more pressure. Once we really start to gel, give it like 5 or 6 games, I think that we are going to be very dangerous and we're going to get up to speed pretty quickly here. It was an unfortunate result. You never want to start the season off with a loss, but you know what's funny? I saw on social media that the best seasons Atlanta United has ever had, one of them
a loss
in 2018, culminating with MLS Cup, started with a loss. So I'm taking that as a good omen.
Yeah. Especially with the talent that you have on your roster. I think you can reasonably expect Almada to produce probably somewhat consistently, probably pretty quickly. So he'd be a good one to trust.
Yeah.
Gordo, who else did you watch? You were telling me you watched a little bit of Dax's old boys, the boys in yellow, Nashville versus Red Bull, right?
Yeah, I watched just a touch of that one. You know, it's probably I just wanted to check in and see how they were doing without my boy Dax. You know, I ended up falling in love with them because of Dax. You know, we talked about him a lot. Uh-huh. And so like when you get traded, I felt like I got traded from Nashville. So you have a little
from
bit of
your fandom.
Yeah. And you guys all know that when you get traded, you're trying to be like a good person and you're trying to be like, you know, you're trying not to be bitter, but you're not. So like inside, you know, that feeling, dude, like, you secretly want them to get demolished, but you're saying to yourself, no, let's just be an adult about it. And like,
be mature.
Cause I still have a lot of friends over there. They look like doo-doo. They didn't look good at all. They didn't look good. I don't think Mahar played, right?
Are you doing this on purpose? You're doing this on purpose.
I am. Andy Nahar? Who did you say?
Me and Gargs are not that dumb. We're not falling.
Oh right, my God.
I don't think Hani played. I didn't see him out on the field.
Listen, I don't want to be controversial, but I'm going to agree with your statement. They did not look good, but they were missing 5 of their 8 best players. Okay.
Well,
right?
Either way, they're at home. They made Red Bull look probably better than they are, but they look solid. They controlled the game. I didn't watch it long enough to like dissect their formations and all that. I just saw Bunbury up top. He's on an island. He's trying to be the big man. And when you guys were playing well last year, it wasn't that. So, I mean, it just looked a little choppy. Maybe that, you know, we can't take too much out of all these games, you know, and maybe they're missing more guys. I saw a lot of familiar faces though. Who are they missing?
Nashville deserves a mulligan because it wasn't a good performance, but let's be a little bit more measured here other than just calling it doo-doo. All right. They're coming off a game where their best players played down in, I think it was the Dominican Republic for 90 minutes and on turf where they went to all the teams in CCC did not play well. Okay. All the teams that played in CCC Nashville was missing Hani. They were missing their striker, Sam Surridge. They were missing Walker Zimmerman, who only played 30 minutes. And Anibal Godoy only played 30 minutes. Dan Lovitz didn't play any.
Yeah, he was out there.
He was not. He did not play.
He's got a twin. He's got a twin out there.
Sure. let's make sure that, you know, I'm willing to give Nashville a mulligan for that because they are coming off a really tough stretch. Once they get the big dogs back, I think it will look different. Red Bull, on the other hand, looked great. Forsberg looked
great. Yeah, what's Forsberg all about? Is he the real deal?
He looks like he's going to be well worth every penny they're paying for him. He looks like a guy.
Really?
He looks like a guy who's been in the Bundesliga playing at the highest level for the last 10 years, and he's fantastic. He sees the game. He creates chances. He was playing as like an inverted left midfielder, left winger who comes in into pockets. He's really hard to track. Nashville, he was given Nashville midfielders fits in terms of who's picking him up. Is it a center back? Is it a center midfielder? Is it a fullback? Really, really like what he's about. And I think he's going to take that team to the next level. Unfortunately for Red Bull, I still don't think they have a true out and out goal scoring number nine, like they haven't had since Bradley Wright Phillips. So that was the, that was the Achilles heel. That's the reason why Nashville got a point was because of Joe Willis, who's immense, fantastic. And because Red Bull,
dude, he's a beast, man. Willis is under, why is he so underrated?
Because he's an American guy who's played on a couple different teams, and other goalkeepers are flashier. Joe doesn't, you'll never hear a guy who's more humble. He doesn't talk about himself. He's very,
dude, he's a player, man. I'd take him on my team.
Nothing but great for Nashville since they signed him. So
yeah,
big mustache as well.
I thought, yeah, he's got a great mustache. Right. Indeed. That should be your mustache goal. But look, it was a game where Red Bull's on top and they should have won the game. But that's what Nashville does. They stay in the game. They get points out of games that maybe they shouldn't get points out of. And so I think Nashville, when they get some guys back healthy, I don't think they're going to have anything to worry about. But yeah, this was a performance to forget.
So Dax, I think you listened to our last episode. Me, Gordo, and Wings went through some of our expectations prior to the weekend, right? So between the three of us, we probably watched maybe 9 minutes of MLS soccer in preseason. So really kind of going off very little real recon or research. But two of the teams that we had talked about pretty extensively from our expectations in the Western Conference, LAFC, Seattle, man, that was a fun game. And two teams that I think we all picked Seattle. I had question marks around LAFC with, I think, just a lot of the moves that they made and what they were going to look like. Dude, LAFC was on fire. They were flying. Their attack looked so dangerous. And the things that we had talked about in Seattle and kind of building off their back line, they looked flat-footed. They looked scared. They looked intimidated. And LAFC looked like they could score every opportunity that touched the ball. I was really impressed by LAFC. Gordo, they were your pick, LAFC. Were you as impressed, or were you just like, yeah, this is kind of where I expected them to be? They were surprising.
I was as impressed. This team has gone through a ton of heartbreak, you know, and it's going to show a lot about this squad. They showed a lot to themselves, I think. They are hungry game one. I mean, this is a team that looked like they were on a mission. They walked into Seattle, and all three of us know that ain't easy to do, especially with the team that they got.
They played at home. It was a home game, so they got to sleep in their own beds, but they still were playing
either way.
Seattle,
either way, so they were all over them. Okay. And you know what? You know what I was thinking? Maybe Schmetzer was right. Maybe he doesn't know where he's going to play this guy.
Dude, I liked him.
Because it didn't look like he knew where he was playing. And
no, he didn't. That was the one thing that looked very confusing.
Yeah, and Schmetzer, I think he was being completely honest. I don't know where we're going to put this guy. And not only that, this guy's got a lot to prove. And everybody was just saying, oh, this guy's just going to go ahead and step into Ladero's spot and go ahead and contribute like one of the best players that's ever been in the MLS. Mm-hmm. Like, prove it, dude. Okay, he scored a PK. Good for you. But
he stepped up and took it. Yeah.
Yeah. Can we talk about that for a second? I mean, this kid, he's young, he's new on the team, and right. They have, I guess Rui Diaz was out of the game at that point and Ladero's not there anymore. But this kid said, give me the ball. I'm going to step up 10 minutes into my debut and I'm going to bang in a penalty and get us back in the game. I love that.
He did look pretty composed too. He looked composed in the PK and he wanted it. And
he's
dangerous. Know, to your point,
He's going to be dangerous. Give him a chance to settle in. He's going to be a really fun player for Seattle. But I agree with you, Gordo. Where do you play him? Where do you play him?
Because nobody's ever been like Ladero in this league. Nobody has ever been specifically like him and how he moved off the ball, how busy he was. I don't think there's another player that you can compare to him. And it's really, really tough. It's not a knock on this guy. I'm not saying that, but this guy's more of a, position specific player. Ladero can roam all over the field. I mean, I guess you can pick a couple other guys, Sebastian Giovinco and all these other guys, you know, that can just roam around and kind of do their thing. Still not Ladero, but this guy was so busy for them and covered so much ground. I just think it's been a little bit understated that this guy's just going to come in and they're going to figure things out. He had me fooled. He had me fooled. I was like, yeah, maybe he just knows what's going on. He's just going to put him around. But they looked out of sorts, and it looked like one of the teams that needs some time, you know, and it's the first game. They need some time to figure it out and where people are going to be and how the balance is going to be. Yeah.
Guards, you had your hand up. What do you, are you, you were waving about what I said about they don't know where they're going to play them, as in yes or as in no?
No, you gave Gordo credit for that, and that was my biggest takeaway of the signing.
No, I'm the one that said it.
This I actually was also surprised at how comfortable and confident Bwanga looked in the role that he played. He was all over the field. He's a beast, man. And it seems like he's just jumping right back into where he left off. I don't know. Maybe we made more about the kind of the offseason waves that he was making, which could have very well just been strategic and tactically well played to get himself a new deal, as opposed to actually wanting to leave. But that looks like a well-oiled machine, that LAFC
side. Can I make a point real quick? And I don't know how you guys are going to feel about this, but I think it would be a little bit unfair to Seattle to not point out some pretty important pieces that they were missing. First game of the year in LA, no Jao Paulo, probably their best player. No Rusnak, probably one of their best players. No Stefan Kron, no Yamor. Four pretty important players. I mean, look, Nashville was playing at home, but they were missing a lot of key pieces. Seattle was playing on the
LAFC. You're right, Dex, and that's fair.
I think Seattle's performance to get it to 2-1 and to, you know, have a chance to sneak a goal at the end against a very good LAFC team, which I think we all agreed they were not going to be as strong this year as they have been in years past. But LAFC, they're starting to develop a little bit of a resiliency, kind of like Seattle has, where you just don't know how it's going to look in the beginning. Maybe it doesn't look great. They turn over tons of players. And then at the end of the year, they're always there. LAFC is turning into a team for me that is going to be like this, because John Thorrington and that front office is going to continue to bring in good players. They're going to continue to bring in talent. They are not going to let this thing fall off the side. Like, they're just not going to let that happen. So I think it was a good game between two good teams. I think both of these teams are going to be in the top four of the Western Conference at the end of the year. I didn't get to make my predictions and my picks, but I think it's pretty clear to see that, like, once both of these teams get up and going at full strength, they're going to be some of the best teams in the league.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And I think that's fair. That's a good point to bring up, Dex, because they were missing a few players. But I guess, and maybe that's to what we were talking about, like our expectation of Seattle, because of what they've built up, the capital that they've built up, the expectation is that it's a lot closer than that game that was. Right. That was not a 2-1 game to LAFC. That was, they played them off the park. And I would expect that to be a bit closer for Seattle, whoever they roll out. You're right. They were missing some key pieces, but I don't know. Maybe they've just raised the standard of my expectations for that club. So
where's Rui Diaz?
He played.
What do you mean? Where is he?
Where is he?
I think he's in the last year of his contract, trying to figure out what's next, buddy. I think he's
in Seattle right now. He probably is sipping a mate. Maybe.
I think it's going to be interesting to see how that situation plays out throughout the year. I think Schmetzer's got some big decisions to make, because at the end of last year, he was playing Jordan Morris up top. And Rui Diaz was not a part of his best 11. So when you have a guy on that type of contract who is a goal scorer, presumably has a pretty big ego. And
Jordan Morris started in the nine this past weekend too.
They played a 4-4-2. They both played up top.
Yeah.
So you can't, I don't think you're going to see Seattle in their strongest lineup play with two strikers. I just don't see it. So I'll be curious to see how Schmetzer handles that situation as it evolves throughout the year.
Their other rival, the Cascadia, Gordo, you said you watched that game Portland versus Colorado, right? Neville Armas. Portland absolutely destroyed them. I didn't get to catch any of that. What did that look like?
Absolutely destroyed them. It looked like Portland was back. I mean, they added, you know who was impressive to me? This guy, Williams. Williams back in the lineup after a couple of years, a couple of bad injuries.
Williamson.
This is the theme of the podcast. Can you stop?
Yeah, just keep it going. I'll help.
Can you stop? Gets a goal. He was good. This little Brazilian guy on the outside, this little skinny guy was super dangerous as well. But I mean, Colorado just looking like doo-doo. I mean, can we bring that up again? I mean,
new
players, the new system, all that kind of stuff. We can give everybody excuses all day long, like Dax wants to do. Oh, they're missing players. They're doing this. They're not. But dude, you got to figure something out. They had nothing going on.
Were they missing anybody? I mean, they had Mihaljevic. They had Sammy Vines.
I think they've got a new
Zach Steffen. Was he in? In that?
Yeah, he was playing. In that? I think they've got a new number six that they brought in on loan who didn't play. But I agree with you, Gordo. They didn't look great. Are you guys – are you XG guys at all, Gargs?
I don't know. I think it's a piece to be considered, but I don't love it.
Okay.
If I'm being totally honest, I think it tells a little bit of a story, but I still think it doesn't.
I'm only doing this because of what I said about Colorado a couple pods ago. Remember I said I thought they would be a playoff team and I thought that they would be much turned around. So this last performance against Portland, you would think that, I look like an idiot. They're going to stink. They had a bad performance. It is what it is. And to me, Portland was great. I thought they fed off the electricity of the crowd. The only reason I bring up XG is because for one reason and one reason only.
Because it's going to help your argument. So do it.
Portland won the game 4-1. They scored four goals on an expected goals value of 0.54, which is insane.
Mm-hmm.
Finishing efficiency.
Right.
Did I say that slow enough for you, Gordo? You know what
I'm
I mean?
I'm catching up. Go ahead.
So that is not sustainable, right? That type of finishing efficiency is not sustainable. So again, Portland, completely fantastic. The guy whose name you're looking for is Antony. Yep. Not Man United's Antony, but a one that can actually score goals. But I do agree. Eric Williamson looked fantastic. He looked fit. Colorado looked a little shell-shocked. Colorado's expected goals was 1.22. So, look, expected goals, it tells a story. But Colorado, I still don't think it's time to panic. I think that they have a lot of pieces that are still needing to figure out. My biggest concern and worry was that my boy, Georgi Mihailovic, he looked a little bit out of sorts. And he's a marquee signing for them. He's an important player for them. I think he's a fantastic player. I think
so give me a little bit more on that. Out of sorts in what way?
I'm not sure exactly what his best position is. And I haven't been sure of what his best position is. He played when he was in Montreal. He was fantastic. And he was one of those Wilfred Nancy dual tens, right? Mm-hmm. Where you have a wing back who provides the width and Georgie can just
move around amorphous and do whatever you want.
Well, they were trying to do that. They were putting him in this little pocket kind of.
I think like he was playing as an out and out number 10 behind two number sixes or a number six and a number eight. And he was trying to float around and find the game. And I don't think he found the game. I don't think he played bad. But if Colorado is, he just wasn't that involved. And if Colorado is going to be successful, Georgie has to be great. And Georgie has to be the guy who's pulling the strings. So I think that is the challenge for Chris Armas and this staff is how do you get the best out of Georgi Mihailovic? Because I've seen his talent. I know it's in there. I know that he can be an elite player in MLS. I know he can be a great chance creator. But for whatever reason, it didn't show up in the game against Portland. And look, you can't say anything else about Portland. They absolutely shellacked them in the first half. I think it was 4-0 before the 35th minute, or the 45th minute was when the own goal scored. But the game was over in the first half. So
not just for Georgie. I mean, I think it's for any of these guys, these big signings, if I don't know if they have the right pieces around him. Okay. If you can, I don't think he's a guy that's going to make the game on his own. I think he is an excellent player and an excellent piece when the focus can be on somebody else, like a Piatti when he was in Montreal. He scores 9 goals, gets signed to Europe because there was other pieces around to focus on.
I love you, Gordo. I love you, but Georgie never played with Piatti. But
Who did they have?
They had other players, but not Piatti.
Piatti retired in like 2016.
For Montreal? It's a Monday, folks. Okay. I have a long weekend. Yes.
No, I understand. Like, give I me understand a what your point is, here. But Georgie never played with Piatti.
Well, I'm saying
you're saying a player Piatti, like that?
Like the
hypothetical. Yeah, hypothetical.
Okay. Yeah, the hypothetical.
Okay.
Can I get back to my point?
Yeah, you were making a good point.
I'm making a good point. I mean, he's an excellent player when he's the cherry on top. Then he makes your team really good. But if we got to play through him, and I'm looking at their lineup, and I just don't see enough dangerous players right now to take some focus off him. I think they can play him right out of the game.
Okay, I think that's a fair point. I think Georgie does do well. When he's got other
compliment,
if he's a complimentary piece who isn't the sole focus of a defense, I understand that. Mm. Now, look, again, it's week one. I don't think we need to make any sweeping conclusions about how good or bad Colorado is going to be. Let's see how it shakes out in the next couple of weeks. Let's see the different tweaks that they make. I'm curious, you know, about their striker situation. You know, this guy, Rafael Navarro, I don't think he played much for him last year, but I don't think that they have a ton of other options up top. I know Darren Yappe is like a young American center forward who a lot of people are pretty high on, but yeah, look, Colorado, they didn't look great. I think you have to give your hats off to Portland. They played well.
Gordo, we live in crazy times right now. What are things looking like in the real estate market?
Oh, Dax, you know that rates are always going to be the best with Synergy One Lending, and those are always going to fluctuate. But one thing that never fluctuates, that's the service you get with Erin from Bikes Realty Group. She is the number one agent I will refer all my clients to. She handles all the obstacles up front, really takes the stress out of any transaction and move that you have. Check out my girl, Erin Mishu with Fikes Realty Group at majorleague-realestate.com.
All right. So then answer this question. Did we get it completely wrong about Phil Neville?
Maybe
he looks to have them organized. I mean, they're midfield. I mean, you got Chara, dude. You got Chara and Williamson. I mean, it's hard to mess that up if you're a coach. You put them in there; they know what they're doing, right? And then I think the stat that Dax threw out there was pretty, you know, enlightening. You know, you're right. And they were even saying that on the call is they were so efficient with their finishing. And
I do think Phil Neville is going to do a good job in Portland, but I still think they need a number 9. They played Dyron Esfria up top. What is his name? Mr. November.
He's not a 9, dude.
He's not a nine. And so yeah. I think Felipe, they have Felipe Mora. I think he's injured right now, but they have so many good pieces, right? Yeah. When Eric Williamson's healthy, and obviously Diego Chara and Evander didn't even play. They've got so many good pieces. I still don't think they have that out and out striker since a Fernando Adi type.
And this guy Moreno on the other side of Anthony, he didn't get the assists. He didn't get the numbers this game, but I mean, he's explosive, man. That guy's super fast.
Did they make the playoffs last year, Garks? I don't think they did.
No, they didn't.
Portland? No.
They're going to make the playoffs this year. I think there's zero question about that. Their attacking talent is very good, and I'm very impressed with them. They're very solid along the back line. I think that Phil Neville has a lot to work with. I think they're going to be an easy playoff team, especially if they can continue with their home form. But look, I don't think that the efficiency that they showed in this last game against Colorado is sustainable. So when the games get tough, when they go on the road, are they going to have a striker who's going to be able to score goals with one chance? I don't know. So I'll be curious to see how the season plays out, but I think we could have been wrong about Phil Neville. I think he's probably going to do a good job.
I mean, he's got enough experience in watching games, playing in games. So it's not all that surprising. And Miami, to be fair, was who knows what was going on there while they were kind of building up to the the runway for Messi.
Speaking of,
we're not there yet, but that was the cherry on top of the weekend. We did talk a fair amount, Gordo, about Western Conference teams and this, they're kind of being this like log jam right in the middle of teams that maybe are good, maybe aren't great, could be great. We're not entirely sure. One of the games that I caught was St. Louis, Real Salt Lake, who is two of those teams that I think, obviously St. Louis won the Western Conference last year, and Salt Lake is a team that maybe punched above their weight, might be good. They got extended Pablo Mascherini. They completely retooled his staff for him, which is an interesting move for a coach that you're extending. Did either of you guys catch any of that game? I watched a fair amount of it.
A little bit of it, not a lot, barely.
We kind of kicked around St. Louis and what, you know, our expectations were that for them were or are. I think that it still goes back to, you know, did they make enough upgrades off of year one? And when I looked at St. Louis last year, I think Dax, you know, you lived it and breathed it in terms of the Red Bull ethos and the playing style and what that gets you. It gets you into the playoffs, right? But does it get you to a place where you can last? And we were kind of waiting on that shoe to drop all of last season, and it didn't really come until later than I think we all thought. The group looks like they are similarly engaged in most of these moments, but I still think that they play so narrow. I still think that they leave themselves open to be exploited on the wings. They have better outside backs. The one kid, I forget what his name is. They brought him over. They're still playing Markanic on the left. I forget the new kid's name on the right. I thought he was good. I did like him. But I still think they're missing a chance creator. You know, I still think they're really missing like a number 10. Like I like AZ Jackson, but for me, he's not a game in, game out starter in the 10 position yet. I think he's young, inexperienced. Adeniran, another guy, like absolute handful, comes off the bench. As a defender, I would be less than thrilled to see him as a sub in minute 60 or 65.
But I want
to
ask you, Gargs, because the point I was going to make about St. Louis was that Adeniran has been nothing but fantastic for them for the last 12 months. Do they play him and Klaus up top together, or is that not
how they have? So it's interesting. They go back and forth on this, man. And I thought when they were playing their best soccer, I thought Klaus and Adeniran were running up top together. Right. And then as they went into the playoffs, they switched their formation and he took Adeniran off. And Adeniran, to be fair, he's raw. So you get what you get. He's not as polished as Klaus. He's not the same type of player, but man, he is willing to run at people and just crush them. And I don't know if you saw his goal.
He's a game changer, dude. He makes a difference. He's an absolute handful. He's a striker.
Yes.
He's a striker that no defender wants to play against.
Nobody wants to see him.
I understand, you know, heavy legs, bring him on against heavy legs, but I also understand, like, you give yourself a better chance to win if these type of players are on the field for longer, in my opinion.
For my money, I think that the two of them running together is their best formation. But right. I still think that they need to figure out a midfield that actually works for them. And I really like Leuven. But Leuven is an eight for me. He's an eight with elite technical ability that has some 10 tendencies.
Yep.
But he's not a 10. And yeah, AZ, I think, is somebody that comes in and in that, you know, 30 minute, 35 minute range or a spot starter.
Look, I think St. Louis, I think they're going to absolutely have a little bit of a second year dip. I think, did you speak about that on the last pod, Gargs, how you think they're going to fall off a little bit?
Yes.
I still think they're going to make the playoffs because.
Yeah, for sure. I think so for sure.
The system, the system is too strong. And, you know, Bradley Carnell just did him or Fanastil, one of them just got, I think they both got contract extensions. I mean, I think that the continuity that breeds I just think they're going to be another team that no one wants to play against. But mm-hmm. with all that being said, there's going to be a little bit of a hit in terms of their effectiveness, in my opinion.
Yeah. I would agree. I also think that I guess maybe I still would like to see what plan B is, because right. they're refining their plan A, and that can be pretty impressive and certainly successful. But I still think plan B, when teams sit in on them and counter with speed and counter with, you know, players that can open them up, like Diego Luna, dude, he's a player, man, for Salt Lake. He can make that pass. He sees different things. He floats around, to what you were talking about with Ladero. He's not Ladero, but he has some of those interesting tendencies that gets in the pocket. And then they have Chicho, right? And now we're talking about Salt Lake, but Chicho, man, he's a killer. He's a fun player to watch.
Yeah, I think that Pablo and Real Salt Lake deserve a little bit of credit. You know, I think
for sure. I mean, they created chances, man.
They created chances. They didn't make a ton of moves in the offseason, and they need a goal scorer real bad, right? I think they got Chicho and he can score goals, but they need another goal scoring threat. I think that's, you know, with Pablo's teams, you're always going to get a team that's going to fight, but they can play. I watched them against
Miami. They can play.
They can play. I mean, they dominated Miami. If you watched that game last weekend, they absolutely took it to them. And Miami, they got messy and, you know, an unfortunate goal from Zach McMath, but they just couldn't bury a chance, right? And then if you let Messi be in the game like the Galaxy did last night, and we'll get there, Messi's going to hurt you, right? So, I mean, we'll get off of Miami, but I mean, I like the way that Real Salt Lake is. They're just such a blue collar team, and they're really not an ugly blue collar team. They can play. They got some pieces. They like to knock it around. They just need to be a little bit more dangerous. And I think they can get back to kind of the levels where they were. Maybe third place is a little bit high, which they did last year, but I see them making the playoffs.
For sure. I think you're right, Gordo. I think if they add somebody in this summer transfer window, an attacking threat that complements Chicho, I like Luna. I think he's got a high ceiling. I like Chicho. I think he is their goal scorer. But if they can put somebody somewhere in there, if that's that winger, that 7-11, or it's a 10 that kind of can be a hybrid, they can make some noise. I think their defenders are decent enough. And they work for Pablo, right?
Right.
So, all right, well, let's go to our boys. The Galaxy versus Inter Miami. All the stars were out. Gordo, Gordo, unbeknownst to what they were going to look like, or actually that they had made these official announcements for these DP signings, Gordo picks the Galaxy to go from finishing 14th in the West to being in its top three. And then sure enough, they go out and actually play like maybe they will be in the top three at the end of the season. Gordo, are the Galaxy back? Yes or no? One word answer.
No.
Okay. Okay. Interesting.
I did not.
You said one word.
I thought it was a yes for sure, but give me in 10,000 words or less, why are the Galaxy not back?
Because their back line, their center backs are not strong enough. I know they looked okay last night. They looked great last night, but they're playing against Suarez, who can't move. Messi, who's 36. You know, like, go down the line. Messi's unbelievable. Right. Like, no, but he's not a burner, and he's walking around most of the time when he comes.
Miami has zero vertical threat. I agree.
That's what I'm trying to say. Thanks, Dax, for coming in. But so it was good last night. Imagine them defending against some of these other teams in the league.
Imagine that backline against Bolonga.
It's going to be a disaster. So the back line is still not sorted out. We're doing the same.
Okay, so the back line here,
number nine.
As a former defender, give me 1 second before you go on here. As a former defender, your back line takes on a lot of pressure, but if you have an attack that the Galaxy actually may have now, that takes a lot of pressure off the back line. So do the Galaxy have enough of a threat to give them a little respite, a little relief, or no? You believe in these guys?
I believe in this guy. Let me butcher his name really quick.
Please. Please
do. I can't wait for this.
I'm not going to do it. I mean, I'm done. I've never felt.
Come on, say the name. Say the name. Say you could, dude. You couldn't even type it in last night. He was telling me it's Penstrel, and I was like, "Well, there's no R in there."
Dude, that's a tough one. Paint still. All right.
Paint still. It's not that tough.
Paint still. There's
no T.
Huh?
There's no T in it.
Yes, there is.
Just not where you're putting it.
Not where
anyway, you were waxing about Paint Soul.
This guy is probably the biggest bright spot that the Galaxy have seen. I mean, since Pooch, right? Which has been a few years, and I said it like it was 20 years ago, but you know he is an absolute bright spot. This guy looks like a monster. He looks like he's got size. He looks like he's got speed. Can he finish? We're not sure yet. You know, he had an open goal. He probably should have put away last night. Couple of shots over the bar. However, this guy's dangerous. He's going to be an absolute handful. I'm not too sure about our guy Peck yet. Uh-huh. I haven't seen enough on him.
You know, and what he's got? He's got that like rubber left foot that just kind of leaves it out there and then cuts inside and puts it.
He did one good thing last night where he was going at the guy, gives a little that lefty shimmy, and he gets a nice shot far post. However, what I didn't like about him, if we're just being honest, is, dude, they had to win the game. It was 1-1. It was one to one, and he's not closing down. There's like 5 minutes left, 10 minutes left, and he wasn't going and closing somebody down hard. That, for me, is a huge red flag. So I need to see a lot.
Yeah, there were a couple red flags for Peck, but like, did they have to win the game? Was that not a respectable result for a team that's coming off of 14th in the West that those guys signed on Wednesday and Thursday of the week before the home opener?
I like the pieces. They still need a number nine. Okay. Jovalik is not the guy. I like him.
You don't like him?
I like him. No, he's a goal scorer, but he's a guy that you come in. He's a good sub. He's not your number
nine. Come on, dude. This guy's going to score goals this year.
He's not your number nine.
I don't know. I don't know if I agree with that. I like Jovalik, and I think that if this dude Paintsill offers what we all think he's going to offer, or at least what Gordo and I think he's going to offer, I'd be curious to hear your opinion, Dax. Dude, he floated by guys, Paintsill. He's going to put so much pressure on back lines.
He put up ridiculous numbers wherever he was before this.
Yeah, like 39 goals and 42 assists in like 68 games. They were staggering numbers. I would agree.
I saw the first half. I only saw the first half. I'm old. I went to sleep for the second half, which apparently I missed a barn burner.
Dude, it was a lot of fun. The game was a lot of fun.
No, it was a fun game to watch in the first half. I just, you know. I couldn't bring myself to stay up later. I didn't get to see, so obviously I didn't get to see Peck, but Paintsill is going to be electric. He's going to be one of the best signings of the offseason. Jovalik is going to score goals. Pooj is one of the best playmakers in MLS. Like, if you have good leaders, if he is good and if he's dangerous and he provides another outlet for them, if you have three very good, dangerous attacking players around a striker who has scored goals in the past in very limited minutes, it'd be foolish of us to say he's not going to score goals in more minutes with an elite attacking group around him. And let's not forget, they still have one of the best defensive midfielders in MLS, Brugman, coming back from injury. To pair with Mark Delgado, who I thought was very good. That sending off was absolutely insane. But look, the Galaxy.
We'll get there.
For me, how good they played in the first half, I've seen this story a million times. Dominate the game, otherworldly, great designated player on the other side of the field. You just had a feeling that it was going to go that way. And of course, I go to bed, I wake up, I see the Galaxy scored, and then Messi does what Messi does. One play between him and Jordi Alba, his buddy, it's almost telepathic at this point. And I'm like,
holy shit.
I'm like, dude. just mark Messi with like four players at this point.
I'm yelling at the screen. I'm like, foul him.
It's going to be a cutback.
Foul him.
It's going to be a cutback. It's going to be a cutback. And the thing is, the pass from Jordi Alba was just so inch perfect. It was ridiculous. So
inch perfect.
The last
like 35 minutes of the game, there was some type of interaction with Jordi Alba and Tata Martino, and Twellman called it out on the broadcast. But you could see, like, I think it came from Suarez getting benched, and Suarez was pissed. He was pissed walking off the field, but he was walking off the field on one leg or on like a half of a leg, which who knows what's going on with him. He might be broken. He might be officially done.
I think that based on what I saw in the first half with the Galaxy, if their backline can concede even 15, like 12 to 15 less goals than they did last year, they're going to be a very, very good, dangerous team. I mean, I have spoken at length about how I believe Greg Vanney is a great coach, and he proved that in Toronto. He had unbelievable talent and fantastic pieces, but the way he made it all fit and tactically the way he put it together, I think that this is his team now, and he's been there for what, 4 years now. So like, obviously
I would hope it's his team.
I would hope it's his team. He's got who he wants. There's no more excuses for Greg anymore. I think he understands that. He realizes that this team has to be successful or else, you know, I don't see Greg continuing on in LA if they're not. But with as good of a coach as he is and the talent that they do have now, I don't see there any way how LA isn't firmly in the conversation for a top playoff spot in the West.
Let's not forget the calendar stood on his head. That save against Puig, and I felt bad for Puig, man. Mm-hmm. I mean, missing that PK. He had a fantastic first half. This guy is electric. He's so good. Second half, he disappeared a little bit, Gargs. Do you agree with that?
You know what? I thought he was doing more work than he would ideally like to do. Like, I thought he was still, like, I thought he was covering a ton of ground. I thought he was doing more defensive work than maybe you'd want him to do, and was dropping a little bit deeper. I also still think that he got into some dangerous positions. Like, he still had a couple of good chances in the second half where he forced Callander into saves. So I don't know, maybe the decision-making wasn't exactly what you would want towards the end of a game, but you got to think he's also playing with new pieces in the attack. A completely new front three for him. And also at the same point in time, he's playing against his idol, right? In Leo Messi, who was pretty incredible in that second half as well. I mean, him and Jordi Alba, the goal outside of the goal, they were still dialed in. Jordi Alba was a beast.
I want to see the stats on Jordi Alba's passes in the second half. I think he was 98% too messy. He was even trying from the flag.
And it was crazy, man.
In the air to Messi. That was like in the middle of the field. Like, he was only looking for him, which kind of makes sense.
And connecting everything too. Everything connected.
Everything.
Yeah, well, and then, of course, they go and score the goal, right? Messi gets the plot, 91st, 92nd, 93rd minute, somewhere in stoppage time to tie the game. Probably, I don't know what everyone wants to see anyway, but the Galaxy should be building off that. I don't know how many times they're going to sell out that building right now. It has been a really tough slog for them over the last couple of years, but now you have a little bit momentum. You bring Messi to town, you have a really exciting opening game. You know what, the other thing that we didn't touch on though, and you did mention Marky Delgado getting his second yellow, a red card, this referee situation, which, one, if the internet hasn't made the referee from the Galaxy Miami game a meme by now, I'd be really disappointed. I'm really disappointed in the internet. But I was watching with Kelly, and Kelly's like, why is this guy talking to everybody? This must be such a hard job this referee has. And I'm like, no, he's engaging it with every single person. Like, I mean, I was like, what is going on, man? But the referees are locked out, and Garber's comments, which were actually pretty interesting in and of themselves, saying he doesn't even know what they want. You can't negotiate with a group that you don't know what they're trying to get to. They thought they had an agreement. Garber typically doesn't take I would say, pointed shots at groups. I mean, we've obviously negotiated with them a number of times.
Like, that can't even be remotely true.
No, it can't. It can't.
Like, come on.
Interesting to take that publicly. That's the approach that they're going to take, which also makes me think that they're not bringing back refs anytime soon. And working with these part-time guys or part-time or whoever, fill-in guys. But the VAR, man, I don't know how many times you guys saw this VAR. We're going on like 5, 6, 7, 8 minutes of VAR waiting time, which I know, Dax, you've gone through the process of not having VAR, introducing VAR, how that broke up the game flow. I thought that for the most part, they got a lot of these decisions right outside of this Delgado red card, because that was insane, especially followed up right behind it by Busquets, who probably deserved a card as well and didn't get it. But this is going to really affect, I would think, this league moving forward if they don't get this right and get it right soon. How did it, what did you see? What did you guys see?
I don't know if you saw our game in the second half, but before Brad saved the penalty, in order for it to be given a penalty, it went to VAR, and it took like 5 minutes for this guy to like figure something out. There was an injury. Farsi was injured, and then we thought it was offside because the assistant raised his flag, but apparently he was using his flag for a penalty. Yep. So then the ref didn't call the penalty, but then he went to VAR after Farsi got off the field, and he was over at the monitor for like 3 or 4 minutes. And it's like, the problem, I think, with the replacement refs is there's so much pressure on them to get the situation and the call right, that they take an extra 2 or 3 minutes that refs who have been in a professional environment and a higher level environment, they don't take that much time. They know what they're seeing and they make the call. I think these refs, by and large, they did fine. I don't think there's any referee controversy in terms of, oh my God, they got a million calls. No, they were fine. And the referee in our game was fine. He didn't make any, the game wasn't about him, but by and large, I just think the VAR is taking way too long. There was 9 minutes of stoppage time in the second half of our game.
Every game
seemed like it had tons of stoppage. And that's great. That was great for us because we're down a goal trying to fight for a goal. But like at the end of the day, that's not, I think in the spirit of the game is it needs to move quicker and you want to get the calls right. But at what point are we saying these guys are just taking too long and they're taking too much time to figure out what the right call is? That for me is an issue. Will Pro and the PRSA and the other, and the referee associations, will they figure something out quickly? I hope so. I'm hoping it's within the next couple of weeks, because I do think that there is a little bit of a gap in quality, but by and large, the replacement refs did fine. It's just an issue.
I think that there's definitely a gap in quality, but it's not stark, right?
It's not egregious.
There's two pieces of it though. Like they should send the refs straight to VAR. Like why there's this whole waiting period about talking to somebody, like just send them over and have them look at it. It's okay. Like get the call right. Right. That's number one, but there's going to be a buildup of frustration with the players. You guys obviously know this, like as it kind of stacks on itself, guys, tempers are going to get shorter and shorter and shorter. And the leash is going to essentially disappear. And then there's going to be, I would be concerned for the players in the respect for what is happening on the field and the respect within the game, because it's going to disappear. And then this other thing, it actually made me think of the World Cup. So the last World Cup, I had an opportunity to go over, and I know that, you know, you guys were watching, but that was the first time where I saw these like crazy amounts of stoppage time, right? Like there was 9-10 minutes of every game in stoppage time. And it's almost like these mini games happen, because everyone just starts lumping shit forward, right? And it completely changes the complexion of the game. It's like, okay, we got to the 90th minute. Okay, now we're either going to hold on to the result or we are going to throw everything at the kitchen sink and go for it. And it completely changes. I also thought it was kind of interesting to watch as a fan that, you know, didn't really care about any of the results. But it's different. And it's going to happen probably sooner rather than later. Gordo, you were texting about the Delgado thing. Do you see anything changing specifically in week 2? Like, do you think that they're going to go back in and give these guys direction, or do you think they're just going to say, hey, this, it is what it is. This is how we're rolling with it. And we're moving forward.
There's too much to do. There's too many refs. There's too much to do to go in and break it all down. I mean, these guys know what the rules are. They're just not as good and not as experienced, maybe, is the kind of more of what it is. They're not as experienced in these high pressure situations. Delgado, there's wasting time, and that was the most ticky tack yellow card I've ever seen in my life. There was a ball that was closer to the guy. It was closer. He picked it up, right? Like, it was insane. And then he gives him this other yellow card. He has no feeling of the game.
He's got no feeling of the game. That's a great point, because you're absolutely right. Like, I feel like these referees they're behind the actual speed of the game, where everybody watching the game that played the game at that level knows that Delgado's in complete control of his body, and he knows the pace that he's going in with, and he knows that he's never going to touch Busquets, never in a million years. And Busquets knows it too, but the referee doesn't know, and he doesn't see it, and neither does VAR, because these guys don't have a grasp of that.
It is that. And Busquets could have got three yellow cards last night if he was judging on the same plane as as Delgado. It's like, what? And you've ruined the game. You've ruined the game. That's when it, and I agree with I'm not going to say too much more about it, because I agree with everything that Dak said, every single thing. It's really just,
these guys got to get a deal done. They just have to get a deal done. MLS, they just got to get a deal done. They got to give the refs a little bit more money. I don't know what else there is to say about it. I'm sure it's more nuanced than that, but at the end of the day, I do think the refereeing in general in this country has gotten better, and it's still not great. But it has gotten better with pro refs. So get them back out there.
Yeah. Dax, what are you doing with your bye weekend?
Probably playing. I don't think we're going to be off. That's for sure. I'm sure we'll have training on a Saturday or an inner squad maybe. So I'm hanging, man. Look, I was in preseason. I didn't see my oldest. I didn't see Cal for like 2 weeks because he was down on vacation in Florida with my mother-in-law, and he was just loving life, totally forgot about me. So just hanging out with the fam, man, reconnecting with the boys a little bit. It's been a long, long preseason, and I'm just happy to be here trying to get more settled in Atlanta.
Well, we enjoy it, Gordo. Are you coaching? Gordo, you coaching? What do you got?
Yeah, I'm in Phoenix. I wish there was a Phoenix MLS team. I'm in Phoenix with my oldest. We'll see if he wants to compete this weekend, which is a big question mark. We had a sit down talk about it. I was telling Dax. Ooh. I think he's gonna. Oh yeah, nice little. Hey, what are we gonna do here, bud?
This is a really nice father son moment, goal setting moment.
It was. We're gonna set some goals, and I want to see some spirit and some passion. Or we're gonna start playing some basketball or something. You know, hey, the Clasicos this weekend, LA and San Jose. I'm going to watch that.
Love it.
Cali Clasico. All right. All right, boys. We'll see you out there. Thanks for tuning in.